thank you for what you have done to bring us to this point in time. We thank you for your investment in the church to raise up unto yourself a bride without any spot or wrinkle. Lord, we bless you. We ask for the anointing of your Spirit upon our soul, upon our hearts, upon our gathering, as we come against every contrary spirit or influence and authority or power, even that which is territorial. We bring the power of our God to bear upon you as we break your chains and frustrate your purposes. Even as we speak and declare and receive and establish your will and your counsel, that Zion will awake and Zion will rise up. And Zion will rise as a mighty army.
Amen.
That the weak shall be strong.
Yes.
And those who are encouraged shall be encouraged. And the blind will see. And the lame will receive strength to walk.
Amen.
That those whose eyes have been dim will be sharpened, O God. Lord, we receive grace. For you say, comfort ye, comfort ye, Zion. We receive your comfort, O God. We bless your name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to break the word down. I had an unction to do that. So we'll be aiming for about an hour. Amen. Because today we're doing two sessions, so we're on a long morning session, and then we'll have another long one from 7:30. So I'm sure we can try to bear with that. Amen. I want to read from Matthew 25. Most of the time, I like to jump around, because I've been admonished of the Lord to be a little bit more organized. Amen. So I'm going to try to organize myself. And I would really encourage us to ask questions, and then I actually hope that this can be interactive. I want to see how we can break this thing down. The reason is that we have turned the bend. We have come to a very critical time. There is the homosexual revolution in the world, and I tell my friends we're in trouble, big trouble.
Yes.
So the world is no longer as it used to be. We are in it. This is what has been coming this Thursday has been the Lord's impression on us, has the signs of the times. There are things happening, the moon, the sun, everything is declaring that we're in a special season. And you look around you, it's the same. You know, those of us who travel all around Africa, we see changes, and we know that there is trouble. And if you move around even other parts of the world, nobody needs to tell you that we're in a special season. Western Europe is at the verge of becoming Islamic without one gun fired. You know, so these are not normal times.
Yeah.
So it's not business as usual for us.
Yeah.
You know, so this is then, I don't want to call it a workshop or whatever it is, but it's supposed to be a time to really go into the world. How can we overcome? How can we make this responsive? What is God requiring of us? You know, some of us have come into this world at various points. Some of us are much more mature, the others are just coming in, trying to find our feet. So we don't want to leave any hope. Everyone, as much as possible, should be able to move on. Matthew 25, for me, is, you know, that's where God says start from. It's the story of two virgins, two women, and for me, you know, I come at the level of the soul. So I'm looking at two souls, two types of souls, two groups of souls. Because Rasset taught us very well, he said, the word of God is dimensional. So there is a natural dimension, which is good, and we must be at that level. And whenever the Lord will lead us, we will go there. There is a second dimension which speaks of the church, you know, the woman, speaking of the church. They call that people, you know, but there is a higher dimension, and I prefer to walk at that level because that is where the devil has always been. So I want to raise my game to fight at that level. And I have seen, and I'm sharing it because it has worked for me. I've seen changes in me. I've seen an ability in me to deal with my besetting sins. I do have besetting sins. I do have weight. I do have challenges. And I have learned one or two things that have seen help me to deal with circumstances and situation. I was sharing with the brethren on Friday. There is a flood to be released. That flood is directed at the mind. It is a flood directed at the mind. And the Bible says the earth opened up its mouth to receive that. In other words, the carnal mind is going to be overwhelmed by that flood. You know, and when there is an overwhelming situation, you have what the Bible is like a Jonah experience. Jonah in the belly of the fish, being controlled by the fish. But God can speak to the fish to release Jonah. So if you are just seeing the fish condition, that is overwhelmed by work, by children, by stress, hatred, or offense, or all those are sheep conditions, fish conditions that have swallowed you and taken over your mind. You know, that's not the end. The end is that God can speak to the fish to vomit you out.
Amen.
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 So, this is a word of hope and of encouragement to everyone who is in such a condition. The bottom line is that God entrapped, caused his nature, what he calls soul, to be entrapped and imprisoned in humanity, you know, in a body. Because say God breathed into Adam, don't you? You know, and in pouring himself into that environment, it was a test case. He knew that soul will go through various conditions. You know, so the soul of man requires a body. Every spirit needs a body to manifest on the earth. Without a body, no spirit can manifest on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And without the spirit, no soul can relate to the heaven. So you have a dual-natured individual within you that can be earthly and also at the same time become heavenly. So we have a dual-natured reality within us. And the thing is, who is going to have the upper hand? The dynamics of it is that the salvation of the body depends on the salvation of the soul. And the salvation of the soul depends on the salvation of the spirit. And the salvation of the spirit depends on the spirit that rules over the spirit. That's the order of the game. So it is spirit over spirit, spirit over soul, soul over the body. Amen. And so that is the order of resurrection. You know, that first is in the spirit, and it gets into the soul, and then it must get down to the body. The body cannot do anything, but the energy in the soul is what is going to affect the body at the end of the day. So if the soul is not saved, our bodies have no hope. So because you know, so that is dynamic, and we are coming to a time when in the economy of God, the soul must resurrect. The soul must rise. The soul must reclaim its body. Amen. Must give life to its body.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, it so happens that in the challenges that we face, we see the activities in the realm of the body increasing so much. And the reason of that is to overwhelm the soul. You know, so the only place of hope is to come up higher.
Yes.
Is to rise. The only hope you have is to reach out. My soul must reach out to the spirit and receive life.
Yes. Amen.
So the only way to go is to rise up in the spirit. Because those that dwell, it says that the beast made war with the saints and overcome the saints. How can the beast overcome the saints? I know to God, God says it's because the saints are on the earth.
Yes.
The saints are operating in the realm of the devil, and the devil has authority over the earth for now. Say for a time, times and half a time, or 42 months, or whatever, or whatever way you look at it, there is a time in which the devil has authority over the realms of the earth, and you, and that is represented by the outer court, because in the outer court, there's a time given in which darkness has to overcome the outer court. So, so no matter whatever my intentions are, I must flee out of the outer court.
Amen.
The outer court is not a religious cliche, you know, you would say it is an experience. And it is the experience of the mind. It's an experience of the mind. The mind must rise out of the carnal earthly things. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're looking at the these two stories of the wise virgin and then the foolish virgin, and it's speaking about the realm of soul. And what makes two of them different is what happens to the soul, to the vessel. The vessel represents the soul. The lamp represents the spirit. And the proverb says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, giving light to the different realms of the soul. You know, so the soul must have oil. In other words, the soul must be anointed. The soul must be anointed. So the soul must be anointed. Okay, so let's read the first scripture. So my context is Matthew 25. And it says, at midnight, there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. On Friday afternoon, I took some time to give something like a timeline for the progression of darkness. We are not yet at midnight, but the plagues in Egypt, they are a timeline of the progression of darkness on the earth. We are not yet there, but we are coming into the period of the locust. I don't want to get into all that, but there is a timeline, and we are moving forward and pressing towards, when I say we, God is allowing the earth to move on to that time. We are not yet at the point of midnight. But when the season of midnight is a season, it's not a one minute thing, it's a season of darkness. And we are coming very, very close. Meaning, it is a time to buy oil. It's a time to not just buy oil. We are being spoken to, and what God is saying to us, there are leakages. So if I buy oil and the oil leaks away, then my economy is not efficient. Something is wrong. So I need to do something to plug the leakages. How do we plug those leakages? How do we buy oil and retain the oil? So those are practical issues that we need to look at. 1 Corinthians 15 is the next scripture I want to read. I'm running for time. 1 Corinthians 15 is a long passage. I want to start from verse 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. You have to read the front and back. You read the front and back. So the question of who is the dead? Who is the one in question? Is it my leg that is dead? Or is it my spirit that is dead, or my soul? It has to be any of those three, or all of the three. You know, so the resurrection of the dead, in question, what is in question is the resurrection of the soul. The resurrection of Christ is the resurrection of the soul. And there are different Greek words that talk about resurrection. One of the major ones is a gyro, whatever, is E-G-E-I-R-O. It means the recovery or the awakening of the faculties in the soul. Faculty means ability. All right, so the mind has fallen. That is the basic situation. The mind has fallen from a high realm, walking in the light, feeding in the garden of God, feeding in the table of God, and it is right down. It's now a creeping, crawling nature that feeds on death. All right, it designs death. So how do I change my habit from being earth bound to being heaven bound? You know, in the activities of my mind, how do I go from one to the other? That is the critical issue. Right. Because the Bible says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So there are dimensions of thought. God's own thought is not at our level. It's at a much, much higher level. In this room, there are different frequencies. And of course, I always tell you about the cell phone, because it's on a higher dimension. If you put it on, you start hearing things you shouldn't see. All right. So in this room also, you see, are different dimensions, and it's possible to hear God speaking because it's on a higher dimension. So how do I rise from a much lower dimension to a higher dimension?
Yes.
As a way of life. You know. So that is the challenge that that we have. So he's saying here. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Let me go to verse 47. It says, the first man is of the earth, the second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthen, such are they also that are earthen. And as we have borne the image. And it is the heavenly. Verse 49 that I'm really going to say. And as we have borne the image of the earthen, we shall also bear the image of the heaven. Now, the doctrine of Christ goes like this, that God took clay and breathed into that clay, and it became a living soul.
Man.
There's a difference between Jesus and Christ, and it's not false doctrine. You know, I'm your brother, I can't preach false doctrine to you. Brother, it's not so. There's a difference between Jesus and Christ.
Yes.
Big difference.
Yes.
And you know, when you understand that, not just to understand, when you walk in it, you will have freedom. Alright? Jesus began BC. Okay, well, 4 BC. That's when Jesus began. That's when he was born. That man came on the earth. Mm-hmm. But Christ has been there before time.
Oh yeah.
Actually, is there now in time.
Amen.
And after time, Christ will continue.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So Christ is a spirit.
Amen.
And that spirit of Christ is the spirit of the Son of God.
Yes, amen.
And it is the spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, and the Bible says, if the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus,
yes,
if the same spirit is in you,
sure,
and in me, that spirit has the power, has the potential, has the reality to quicken my soul, my body, and my spirit, and bring you from mortality into life. That is the reality. Each one of us there will have the potential to be as Jesus Christ. I thought I would hear
amen.
We have the potential. We have the calling. The potential and calling are different from reality. Amen.
Amen.
So we have an encouragement to press on. All right, to the experience of Jesus Christ. And that's why God says he's the first of many brethren. He is the firstborn from the dead.
Yes.
So you cannot talk of Christ unless you rise from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Christ speak of those who have risen from the dead.
Amen.
If you have not risen from the dead, then you cannot talk of Christ. Christ is the company that are arising from the dead. Scripture. Because I'm sure you want to see scripture. Acts chapter 2. Because all this is to bring us to a point. We're looking at the practicality. Acts 2:29. He said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, as both dead and buried in the sepulchre of God." Blah, blah, blah. Verse 31. "He seen this, spake before of the what? Resurrection of Christ." And he's explaining, the English language command means an explanation of what he has said before. What is the resurrection of Christ? That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. The resurrection of Christ is the resurrection of the soul.
Amen.
The resurrection of Christ is the resurrection of the mind, of the emotions, of the desire, and of the will. That is the resurrection of Christ. Amen. And he says that he will not, God has a covenant that he will not leave our soul
in hell.
In hell.
In hell.
So, you and I will have a promise. And you know, we like promises. Take one. This is one good one. God says he will not leave my soul in hell. Hallelujah. So we should claim it. Every morning say, "God, I come to claim my promise. My soul will not be left in hell." And when you say soul, it's a very big name. It's not real. But rather say my feelings will not be left in hell. So that means my feelings can rise. My mind will not be left in hell. That means my mind can rise. My desires will not be left in hell. My desires can rise.
Amen.
So you go to Genesis chapter 1. What does God say? You must overcome the creeping things. It's in nature. You must overcome the fish. It's in nature. You must overcome the birds. It's in nature. You must overcome the wild animal. It's in nature. You must overcome the beast of the earth. Those are different natures of the soul that you and I have been given the promise to overcome. And he says, as we have borne the image of the earth. What was the earth? The earth man. It's me and you now. Don't you know where I'm coming from? Think of where you're coming from. I know where I'm coming from. I have been an earth man. As I have borne that image, as I have, I can, and I shall, and I must bear the image of Jesus Christ. How and why did Jesus bear that image? Because of the Spirit of Christ that was upon him. Amen.
Amen.
So the Spirit of Christ is the one makes the difference. And we have that Spirit. So why are we not bearing the image? Okay, maybe we're just scrolling, we're not doing enough. But the thing that we must do enough. Because if we do not do enough, the mind of man, the natural man, the beastly man, has a destination in hell. Unattended, unaffected, unregenerated, without coming to the place of atonement, will naturally end in hell.
That's right.
It's a destination. The soul of man is on a free fall, it's falling. It's falling from the heights of Zion, it's going to the depths of hell.
Jesus.
Unattended. If you leave it, that's where the soul is going to go to. Amen. But we have a lot of those who do not do anything about our soul. But we have those who will cry to God to intercept this fall. And when God intercepts the fall, we enter the journey of the tabernacle. And we start moving. So look at it this way. There's a free fall. This is first Adam. This first Adam has been fallen and is going to the lake of fire. Nothing can stop it. That is descent. But the only hope for this descent is that this soul comes into an experience and enters the kingdom of God. So we have been taken from this and brought into this. And when we get here, we must press on, because there is a destination that is expected of us. There's a destination within. You know, so it's not just to say, well, I'm saved, but I must be pressing on towards the goal. And that goal is the resurrection of the soul. And he says, I will meet you. God said, I will meet you, have an appointment with you between the wings of the cherubim in the most holy place. So it's not just a cliche that we are saying. We are speaking about an experience you and I have to come on to. Let's go on to that. Go back again to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to look at one more set and then we'll move on. No, go to, I think, 48, verse 50, I think. Okay, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Who is the we that is going to be changed?
The body of Christ.
That's not a good answer. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Who is going to be changed?
Back up the
slide. Who is it? We shall be changed. Who is the one to be changed?
I am mind. Everything about the soul. I am mind.
You are crying.
Those are crying. Everything about the soul. That's good. But who is the we in this passage? But we shall be changed.
Me and you.
Me and you.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, that's the cry.
All the parts of my soul.
All parts of my soul. He said, but I show you a mystery, which are not all sleep. So who is sleeping? Who is asleep?
Virgin.
The 10 virgins are asleep. Okay, that's very good. That's impersonal. It doesn't get it to you. Who is sleeping?
Those who have died in the Lord.
Those who have died in the Lord.
The soul is sleeping.
It's very impersonal. I want to make it personal.
My soul is sleeping.
Who is sleeping?
My soul.
It's the soul. The mind is asleep. It's falling. You know, it's not in the realms of light. It's not in the presence of God. It's falling. So we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. He's speaking about the change in the soul. The soul is the one to be changed. Now, how does it change? He says what? In a moment. So it's a given period of time. That's what it means. There's a given time in which the change must come to the soul. You know, and I think that is the prophetic element. You know, we've seen it this morning, but God came with that prophetic spirit. There's a prophetic spirit that is calling out to us, and he's saying, time no longer. See, the spirit of God, yes, we strive with men, but there is a time beyond which says this, my spirit will no longer strive with man. Amen. And when we look at the story of the 10 virgins, there was a time element. There was a time to buy oil.
Yes.
And there was a time beyond which you could not buy oil. Amen. Amen. So, brethren, that's one thing that we need to get. That's an urgency we need to feel. Sometimes when I look at myself, I say, do I feel this urgency? And that is why it's good to come to meetings. Because in the meetings, you will see the Spirit of the Lord coming forth. And this morning, you can feel that prophetic element saying, there's an urgency, hurry, hurry. You know, you can feel the push in the Spirit. And so when they say make a response means to submit to that push in the Spirit. You know, you need to be a bit more urgent. you know, to be much more earnest in the things you are doing, in what you are doing. And the purpose of that is because of change. I need to buy oil, you know, and it's not just to buy oil, the oil must not leak. So I must plug the leakages. And the thing is, you know, I hope we can come to that in the next few minutes. The truth of the matter is that there are altars within the mind. The mind is a realm of images. When you think about an image, don't think about a physical thing, cast on, we are black and blue, painted white, forget it. Leave all those ones. It is the image in the mind that the mind reflects on the wood. So the place where you have the images is within the mind. Okay, and I showed it, you know, we said the word idolatry comes from two Hebrew Greek words, eido and latria. Eido means to see, image. Latria means service. The images in the mind that the mind serves. The mind is a natural born priest. It must bring worship. It is born to serve. I'm born to serve an image, serve an idea, serve a cause. Serve is something I am fond of. I serve it. That is the natural tendency of the mind. And the devil knows it. And he is so confident that you and I cannot deliver our soul. The Bible says he will not leave my soul in hell.
Amen.
You must believe it. So it's not good. Someone says, "Oh, okay, look, I can't make it." No, you are getting the wrong point. You must tell yourself. David said, "My soul, wait upon the Lord." You understand? You must speak to your mind. Say, "My mind, I will not serve any foreign idol."
Amen.
And so you see, you have to come to. You can't come to that point. And you know, and the urgency is the urgency for you to understand the way you function. The mind is set on something, you know. And I brought the word grasp. When you say you comprehend, that word comprehend means to lay hold of something with the mind. That's what it means to grasp something. You say, "Do you understand?" I'm telling you, have you seized the idea with your mind? Say amen if you believe with me.
Amen.
Huh? You catch an idea. Those of us who work in the realm of, you teach people. You teach, and you know when the student has caught the idea.
Yeah,
you know, I just did an exam. I'm leaving you tomorrow to go and do another exam. And when I'm grading, I'm marking, I'm looking for some, and I feel happy that the student has grasped the idea of what I taught them. But when they start writing, I feel very happy, and I give them all the marks. Because they have grasped it. They have reproduced. Some of them, they give me everything I've given them. They give it to me, even much more. Because the mind has laid hold of it. And what the mind lays hold of is not going to release.
No.
It has taken hold of it.
That's right.
And the devil knows that if he can get you to lay hold of an image, you serve the image.
That's right.
You give your cost to the image. You give your life to the image. You know, I want you call it the American dream.
Yeah.
Two cars on a lawn, the children in Oxford, the other one is in Princeton, then the other one is working for Shell. And that is the American dream. It's an idol in the mind. Everything you do, you wake up, you rise up, wake up, you rise up, you want to achieve that idol. You want to make that image. Because the devil has stamped it. God also is stamping an image in your mind.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So if you understand, he puts an image also in you. And what is it? To be like Christ. You wake up every morning, I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. When you fall, you rise up, I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
If you fall and you cannot, it means that you don't have the image. It means that there is no image. He says, looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
The author and the finisher of it is an image. It's an image that must be, you must have it upon you. And every morning, you see, there are some images of stone and there are images of wood. So there are images that have been well established. on the path of righteousness, on the path of righteousness. You know, so he said, when you come in into the promised land, all the images, you must destroy them. And in this place, you must raise a new image, a new altar. Every morning you go and bring a sacrifice. And the more sacrifice you bring to it, the stronger it becomes. Amen.
Amen.
So, he's speaking about the fixed time. And it says, we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That twinkling is other passages say in the jerking of the eyes. Those are English language, but the way I understand it means that something happens to my eye. There's a change.
Yeah.
And what is that change? A change in focus. What is the focus of my eye? And then which eye is he speaking of? Is it my natural eyes or my innermost eyes?
Or
my Okay. And the way I understand it, the problem I have is that my eyes, my perception, my ability to perceive God, to be aware of God, to hear what God is saying to me, to discern the things of God, determines how well I can respond to God. I can shout from here to tomorrow, respond to God. How do you respond to someone you do not see? How can you respond to someone you cannot hear? How do you respond to somebody you do not know? Amen. You can only respond to someone you know. And if the eyes are blind, you don't see him. It's an image. It's not real. God is not real. And the reason is that something is wrong with our minds. Something is wrong with our eyes. There needs to be a change. And Paul was praying that the eyes of our understanding might be changed.
Yes, amen.
That's the change we need. If a man's, if his perception, if his, the way he sees things changes, the man is a changed man. So let's go into the scriptures a bit and then let's see. I'm looking at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say, therefore." And testify in God that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. When the understanding is darkened, it has a product. And that product knows no brother. It doesn't know whether you're American or you're English or you're Nigerian. It doesn't care who you are. But when the understanding is darkened, look, it says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of what? The blindness of the heart. That's the problem. Amen.
Yeah.
So when a man doesn't know God, it's an inward problem. It's an inward problem.
Amen.
Amen. And that's, you know, what Brother Buck was saying. You know, the Holy Place Church. I don't really like that term, Holy Place Church. You know, it's a technical term, so I don't want to bother you with it. Because I don't believe it's a holy place church. We're an outer court church that have a holy place message. Because the holy place is the place of change.
Yes.
Because the place of the lampstand and the place of the shewbread and the place of the offering of the soul are the place of the change of the soul. Amen.
Amen.
So you are in the outer court, you have a holy place message. All right? You can preach that message from now to when you with 10 years, you know, 100 years to come. If my soul does not come there, it will not be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, so you have such a thing, you know, in Revelation 13 it says there was a beast that came from the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. In other words, it had an inward nature. of darkness. It had an inward nature of the first beast that came from the sea. The sea speaks of humanity, common fallen souls. The soul has fallen and is not feeding, it doesn't depend on the life of God. The beastly soul is a soul that is reactive. It is not in control of its circumstances. The soul that I and you have is a sensual soul. I am ruled by my senses. And a sensual soul is controlled by the things in its environment. The devil only needs to show me a flash shaker, and I decide I must buy that car. You know, that flash shaker determines my reaction. So I'm ruled by my senses. But there is a higher dimension of soul, and that is the spiritual, life-giving soul that is ruled by heavenly determinants. Amen. And the Bible says, if we have borne this natural one, we must. The time has come for the people of God to break out of this sensual role into the realm where we are depending on the life of God for our soulish existence. You know, so that is the transition that must be made. And someone says, how long will you and I be in this journey of going around the mountain? The problem God has is that we have taken too long to break out of this mode. And tribulation is coming. That tribulation is going to heighten, it's going to bring more urgency upon us to be able to make that change into that place. So we see here that he's speaking about the understanding that is darkened. He's speaking about the darkness in the soul. Now, one of the natures of the soul is that the soul is a priest. There are seven heads. If we look at Revelation 13, it says there are seven heads. There are seven major functions of the soul. The first one, the most important one, is that the soul is a priest. You cannot be a priest without a garment. And the garment of darkness, what we are reading, is a garment, a covering over the soul, so that the soul can function as a priest of darkness. That's what we are reading. And for us to change into this new priesthood, my basic nature must change to the nature of light for me to function as a priest of righteousness. Or you call it Melchizedek priesthood. That's a big name. But he's saying I must overcome this nature of darkness.
Amen.
So naturally, God will allow somebody to gossip with your name. God will allow someone to offend you. All those things, when they come, I say to my wife, it's an opportunity to rise.
Amen.
Now, you might see it as an opportunity to say, oh, this sister, this brother, you don't forget it. It's low level, low level, low level.
Yes.
Low level. Say to yourself, low level.
Low level.
When you hear them say, it is an opportunity to rise. God wants to promote you, like Rapport says. He wants to raise you higher. And he says, somebody begins to run around with your name. Rise.
Yes. Rise. Amen.
Rise. When you rise, you come to a new dimension. Amen.
Amen.
So, it is easier said than done, but we must do it.
Amen.
So, look at the conditions in which you are in now. Look at your circumstances. It is an opportunity to rise. It's an opportunity to get closer to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's an opportunity to be an overcomer. Amen. And another thing, any situation you are in now, or that you will face tomorrow, or that you face in 1 hour time, if it comes to you, you have overcome it. Because God will not bring you into a situation that you cannot handle. Amen.
Amen.
So the fact that you are there means you are an overcomer. Say to it, I am an overcomer.
I
have overcome. It's easier said than done. Some say, oh, no, you don't know my own. Forget it. I don't need to know what you're passing through. Neither do you know to what I'm passing through. But every situation you are in, God has allowed it, because there is a capacity in you, and there's a capacity in the brethren around you to work with you to overcome it.
Amen.
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 The victory is in the mind. If you overcome in your mind, the devil will run away because he knows that this man has overcome. But if you have a failure mentality, oh, again, I'm always struggling, I've not overcome. Yes, because God wants to bless you and bless you and bless you. Amen. You see, so the soul can be creeping, that is, just earthly, just earthbound, earthbound. Or you can determine that your soul will also be heaven. That is, you are rising. You see, they that wait upon the Lord will renew. They will rise. They will mount up with wings. How do you mount up when there are no pressures? Pressures must come. And when the pressures come, it is to help us to rise. Let me read another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 4 and 5 says, in whom the God of this world has done what? Has blinded what? The mind. So there is a mind that is blind. And there are four realms of the mind. The first one of the mind is the realm of understanding. And it is the realm, is the ability of the mind to know things around it. Okay, sorry, the realm of knowledge. Sorry, that's the first one is knowledge. To know. You know, to know and be aware of the things around. And in the Hebrew people, the Greek people, they appreciate and differentiate physical seeing and seeing with the mind. And those of us who are in medicine, we know that there is such a thing as the seeing within the mind. Amen. So there are different types of seeing, you know. So the first dimension of the mind is the ability to see, to know, knowledge. And the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So there is carnal knowledge. Some of us have PhD in this room. It is carnal knowledge. I know my wife knows about mosquito. That is her knowledge. She has a PhD in mosquito. Yeah, Tim is not here. She has a PhD in, so there are people. The mind has been taught, right? Instructed in knowledge. That knowledge is carnal knowledge. But there is a knowledge of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we are speaking about the divine and spiritual knowing of God. He says, this is life eternal.
Amen.
That they might know you, the only true God. And to know God, you must fear Him. And if you look at Isaiah 11, he said there are seven spirits. And that Isaiah 11 is speaking about the lampstand. That's why I have a problem with the term holy place church. Because the lampstand is what happens in the holy place. It is the place where the soul is enlightened.
Yes, sir.
You see, if you look at the lampstand, you see a wick. Huh? Yes. That wick speaks of humanity. It's the soul, it's the mind. Sorry, it's the soul, the spirit, and the body. It's represented by that wick that is enlightened by the light of God. The fire of the lampstand is taken from the brazen altar.
Yes.
So it is the enlightenment of the soul.
Wow.
And that light must not go down. It burns. And the fire of that offering is the fire, is the light of the oil. And that oiling is the oiling of the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody had a dream, said the oil, the fire has died in the holy place. Why? Because the oil is no longer flowing.
Uh-huh.
Amen. So you have an oil crisis. If there's an oil crisis, we have to go back to Him that sells the oil.
Yes,
so that He might anoint the soul. The soul must be anointed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're speaking about knowledge. The other dimension of the soul, of the mind, is understanding. Is the ability to analyze, to differentiate things, to know different things. That is analysis, logismus, logic. That is reasoning. There is carnal reasoning, but there is an understanding that is of God. Job says that to fear God is wisdom, and to depart from evil is what? understanding. A man that has understanding will depart from evil.
Amen.
So understanding is not a carnal, natural thing you get from school. It is taught and imparted unto the soul by the Spirit.
Amen.
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 And the bride of Christ must have understanding.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So it says, say to wisdom, thou art my sister.
Yes.
Call understanding my kinswoman. In other words, these are the spirits of the bride. They are the things that make you a bride. Yes, you want to marry Christ, good intention. But for me to, my soul to marry Christ, it must have wisdom. It must have understanding. It must have the fear of God. It must be quick in the understanding of it. It means that you must be excited at the things of God. That's what Hebrews, Isaiah 11 is speaking of. These are the jewels of the soul, of the bride. This bride must be dressed for the bridegroom. You know, Barak was talking here on Saturday about Esther. Esther had to be dressed. You know, and the gospel today, and this is for our young people. Some of our young people have an identity crisis. I don't have an identity crisis. It's not out of pride, but it's by God's grace. The reason is that there are two types of gospel. The first gospel is a bride-based gospel. And the example is Vashti. She's only interested in herself.
Yeah.
The gospel of prosperity is a bride-based gospel. It is only what I can get. And Esther was not interested in what she could get. She went to the man and said, what does the king desire? The true gospel is a king-based gospel. What does he want? What does God want for my life? It's not what so God is not there to meet your needs. He could do it. If that is what you want. I mean, those girls, they wanted, you know, they wanted the best from the king's house. They got it. Okay, fine. Fine dress. Patient dress. All that. They got it. Patient fragrance. Yes. They went to their houses. The other one said, no. I want to know what pleases the king. And she went to the chamberlain. That is the Holy Ghost. Is it not?
Yes.
And he told her that there are seven chamberlains.
Yes.
Alright? And those are the seven steps of the tabernacle. You know what he was teaching us.
Mm.
So, you must not have an identity crisis.
Mm.
You must know where you are going to. The gospel that is given to you is a gospel to make you presentable unto the king.
Amen.
And the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
With all you are seeking, what do you seek? Seek wisdom. Get understanding. Buy it. And so if you seek for it, you will get it.
Yes.
Don't let anybody tell you that you cannot have wisdom. The Bible says, if you don't have wisdom, ask from God.
Amen.
And he will give you wisdom. Liberally. Amen.
Amen.
Are you asking for wisdom?
Amen.
The Bible says, if you go to James, James says there are two types of wisdom. There is earthly, carnal,
sensual.
That's
devilish.
Devilish.
Yes.
Wisdom. And it is full of confusion. It is dark. And where there is strife and contention, what does it say? There is every evil work. But there is a wisdom that is from above.
Amen.
So it's full of goodness, pure, undefiled, and peaceable. It brings forth fruit. You say, ask God, and he will give you wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Seek it. You say, seek it like you seek for gold and for precious things. So, like Robert was saying, you know, this thing is not a secondary work. My major work is what? To seek wisdom.
Amen.
To buy it for my soul. Every other thing I'm doing is a moonlighting situation. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, so if whatever situation you see yourself, you must buy wisdom. If you're an engineer, buy wisdom. Buy the gold. Amen.
Amen.
So in other words, you are making sacrifices because of the value. So if you put a value upon your life, then God puts a value on you.
Yes.
Don't you understand?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you know that there are things you need to do, you need to come to this conference, 1 year from now, I'm already planning for what's going to happen next. And because I'm in authority, I influence everything they're doing to suit me. Say amen now.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I'm in authority. I influence everything around me to suit me so that I can go and do what I need to do. But lately, the devil has been giving me a high jump. In other words, he has been blocking me, so I also know that. So I'm not raising my game. That's why I'm going home tomorrow. I have a number on Wednesday. Don't you understand? Amen.
Amen.
Yes. He knows. The games are clear. He knows where I'm standing. I know where he stands. So he raises the bar. I raise my game. Hallelujah. So what we are saying, brethren, is that he says the God of this world have blinded the mind of them that do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not Christ, but
they will preach
but Christ Jesus Lord. You know, so look at it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has done what? Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Where is this light? It's within.
Amen.
I must have an inner light. Don't let anybody tell you you must have an inner light. Why? Because the soul, I came into this world with darkness in my soul. Yes. And that light must shine. Yes. I say it's like a light that shines in a dark place. Brighter and brighter. Until what? The day dawns. And the star of righteousness. And until Christ rises. I say he will rise like with healing in his wings. Amen. There must be a lighting. There must be light within the soul. You know, so we have seen that scripture. Now, how do we respond? How do we practically deal with the soul? Because we are talking about the soul, you know, overcoming the soul, making a response to God. Now, the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, go to chapter 3, and then we'll look at how to, the first aspect of making a response to God. Go to verse 17. Verse 17 says, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, the Lord is that Spirit. The paper has come on. Okay, praise God. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord, that's what?
Liberty.
Amen. Okay, the Lord, I want to be free. Okay. Don't worry, you will still be free. Amen. So, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed.
Yes.
Into the same image. From glory to glory. Even as that is
visible.
So, who makes the change?
Spirit of the Lord.
That's number one practical issue. And that is the lampstand.
Amen.
Alright? That is the baptism. Now, the question, let me ask you the question. Who is it that is changed? Again, let me give you another test. Not tell me the sons of God. Who is going to be changed?
Mind.
Amen. The mind. The mind must be changed. Amen.
Amen.
The question, what is the mind? What is the mind? Amen. The mind must be changed from glory to glory. Now, if the mind is to be changed, the mind must come to the brazen altar. That's the first thing. The mind must come to the brazen altar. The mind has four natures. The brazen altar has four natures. So the first place where the mind must come to is to come to the place of judgment.
Amen.
Young people, are you hearing me? Social media, are you hearing me? Huh? Facebook, are you hearing me? Huh? Twitter. Your mind and my mind must come to the place of judgment. The altars in my mind must come to the place of judgment. Now, I can say I'm responding to God. And I sing the song. But if my mind doesn't come to the brazen altar, there can be no change. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
So the practical, the first thing is that, see, it says that when it shall turn to the Lord, that's the key. The mind must turn to the Lord.
Mm.
And the mind is the lips. He was talking about the lips. Huh? Those coals cannot be placed upon the mind if it is not presented to the Lord. So every day I must present my mind. Example. You have MP3 player, not you have. So all those things, that is the presentation, you don't understand. Play it.
Yes, amen.
Keep your mind. Say, God, I give my mind, and I think about it. That is, when you begin to think on the word of God, you know, when you keep your mind, when you stay your mind on the word of God, the word of God will begin to climb, will be deposited on you. You will change automatically. You will see that your appetite will begin to change without even making any struggle. You will form a habit of opening your mind to the Lord. The mind is a gate. It's a swing wide, the everlasting door. Then you begin to close down some other doors. There are some doors you normally open to, begin to close them down.
Yes.
Practically, it may not be possible to close all the minds at the same time. There are back doors. But the things that you open your mind to, begin to close them down.
Amen.
And then, as a habit, begin to open the door of the Lord.
Yes.
You can, if you give yourself, you must listen to a certain measure of scriptures a day. You must listen to a certain measure of messages a day. There are so many websites, Living Bread, the New Hope International, Sunlight. There are so many of them. So many. Make a habit to listen to them. While you're working, you're doing whatever, just let the scriptures play. You see, your mind gradually will begin to shift.
Yes.
And open to the things of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, and the scripture you see will begin to be sweet to you. You begin to develop a new habit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that's one practical thing that. Now the last thing in Revelation 7, it says that there's a sealing that must come upon the mind. It says, "Do not hurt the earth until we seal the servants of God in their foreheads." So there is something that is just hanging there and is about to come upon the world, and God is keeping it until there is a sealing upon the forehead. So the question is, how do you bring about this sealing upon the forehead? I don't have time to get into to order, but if you look at the golden altar, there are certain features you find in the golden altar that give us a pointer. One of the things you see in the golden altar is that there are two rings. Now, ring speaks of love. Two speaks of a witness. Actually, it means a witness for marriage. He's saying this soul is fit to be married to the king.
Amen.
That is what he's speaking of. So now, how can my soul be fit, to found fit, to be joined? Because the Bible says, "He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." It's marriage.
Mm.
Now, don't let anybody tell you cannot be joined to the Lord, because if you're not joined to the Lord, you're joined to idols.
Right.
You're married to spirit. You know, so there is no vacuum. The soul must be married either to a spirit or to the spirit of the Lord. And so there must be that understanding that I am to be married to the Lord. So I must present myself as a living sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? I have to cultivate a lifestyle of always offering my mind to the Lord. Whenever you are conscious, you pray in your mind, say, Lord, I give myself to you. I submit my mind to you. I submit my emotions to you. And on the Day of Atonement, they will bring blood and apply it on the golden altar. Do you apply blood on your emotions? Do you apply blood on your desires? Do you apply blood on your mind? When you wake up in the morning, you are the temple of God. Bring the blood. Say, Lord, I anoint my mind with the blood of Jesus. And I sanctify my mind. I clean my thoughts. I clean my understanding. You go out on the street, you see something that you don't like. Use the blood and cleanse your mind.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Keep your mind clean.
Amen.
It is a lifestyle. You must learn it. You must learn it. I can't give you any formula, but you have to go and work at it. That's buying oil. So if you leave your mind bare, you listen to news 7 hours, 24 hours a day, you are listening to news, BBC, this, you are reading book. Your mind is empty.
Amen.
There's no life. You haven't given it anything.
Amen.
So you must have the time to knock off.
That's right.
Or if you are wiser, why you are listening to BBC, you also listen to the
no,
Word of
sir.
God.
No.
Okay, no, okay, no, sir. Okay. why you are drawing the pictures? Why those of you who are working on computers? Eh? Brother Ike, you are carrying the computer, you are listening to the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you must have a way to get, it says, let the Word of God dwell
richly.
You must have a way to get it in. Amen. And, you know, when you do that, there's a witness. The last thing I want to, because I'm running for time now, they gave me 2:45. Okay. Okay, quickly. So, the last thing is that, when you look at that golden altar, you see a staff. There are staffs, 2 staves. What does it mean? It means that there is a readiness in the soul to break through the veil. That's what it means. So are you ready? Do you have a mind of those who are making a journey to break through the veil? It's a mindset.
Amen.
It's a mindset. Do you have a mindset as someone who is in a journey? Alright? Not just a journey, but a journey to go from natural to the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It is an attitude of mind that you must have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the start of overcoming. So if you don't, you're not, it's like someone who doesn't have a winning, you have a negative attitude. Before you have, say, you know, go and meet him, say, he will not agree. Look at his house. In fact, it's darkness, he's even sleeping. How do you know he's sleeping? He has not gone to his house. You have already determined he will not agree. You have failed before you start. So you must have a positive attitude of winning, of that I can overcome, of breaking through. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then we go on and on and on. But we have to start. But the thing is, I believe that the church has come to a critical point. And this critical point is that we must look inward. The message of the tabernacle is real. And if you want to make it, you must walk in it. It will say it is a daily walk. It is not only for the mind, it is an attitude we have to walk in. And the message of the tabernacle, the book of Revelation is the tabernacle. The book of Corinthians is the tabernacle. Every book in the Bible is based on the tabernacle. And I will encourage us, brethren, to make this thing practical. You know, it's not saying that you immediately you start, you overcome, but it says we all, turning to the Lord, we go from glory to glory. Where you should be next week should not be where you are this week. If you are making progress, even when you fail, Bible says the righteous man will fall 7 times, and 7 times he will pick himself up and he keeps going. And it's my prayer that those of us who have fallen will rise up, and you will determine within you to start the journey again. It's never too late. Amen. It's never too late. And if you have been diverted, get back on the track and keep going. You know, so I think this conference gives us the opportunity to get all the oil we want, to get all the help we want, so that we can be among those who are pressing on to the saving of the soul. The soul must be clothed with the garment of righteousness. In the Aaronic priesthood, the man has what they call the Urim and the Tumim. It is an ability that you must develop within the soul, where you can get the light and the perfections of God. The priest cannot function unless there is a witness of those lights. And that God is now working into the soul of his people. The ability to have the witness of light and the witness of truth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd just like us to just rise on our feet and just close this session. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Please, brethren, I just want to make 1 minute comment. It's not going to pass 1 minute. I want to choose this opportunity to thank the Lord for the word that Brother Chijoke has delivered. The reason is that God is a spirit. And as he's sending his children here, he gives us multiple witnesses with regards to where his intention of where to bring us. And we've been struggling. And personally, I've carried a burden, personal burden around the meeting. You know, and people look at me and some of them think it's even personal. You know, it wasn't personal at all. I was just not happy that it is a time to seal the brethren. And the capacities in the midst of the house, and unnecessary emphasis was being, the time was being wasted. Now, the young people, the people will know, they're not just hearing that they have images everywhere and all of that, but they now know practically, we begin to get into the practical things. After someone like Brother Mark has created the awareness that, look, if you're not taking it that seriously, even in the earthly carnal realm, things have started happening to confirm what God is telling you. Then the next thing is to tell the brethren practically, daily, look, you have all of it, it's given to you. The weapons are there, the provisions are there, the blood is there. This is how to operate. You know, and I am happy that the goods are being delivered.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
God has been under pressure.
Know
that the gear is stuck. You know, and I am glad.
Hallelujah.
You know, God has been talking about a covered face. It's an open face ministry.
Hallelujah.
Open face.
Yes. Amen.
Not like Moses.
Mm.
You know, and God says it was in your power to take the mask off. Amen. Yes. And let the glory within shine
Amen.
On the face.
Hallelujah.
And I'm happy.
Mm.
I'm relieved. I don't have to preach. My problem was, and I am happy because God was saying the capacity was in the house.
Amen.
To lose the seal on the people.
Hallelujah.
I am happy.
Amen.
Blessed be God.
Amen.
We cannot live a life that is lower than the life that has been delivered to us.
Amen.
That will be hypocrisy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is saying, is giving us will
yes,
to be what He's commanding us to be.
Yeah.
Blessed be God. And I bless my brother for the grace of God to deliver the goods. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't have time. We need to deliver the goods.
Amen.
Blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you.
Amen.
We just want to worship you.
Yes.
Blessed be God. Because you promised us. He said, as sin had reigned unto death, He said, so now must grace reign.
Amen.
Grace must reign through righteousness unto eternal life.
Amen.
Father, grace has that in this use. But he said there is a time of the reign of grace. It shall not be by might or by power, but that you've given the blood of Jesus, and that by the Spirit of God there is a measure of grace now available, that the people will come in to an energy of God that was not possible before. Father God, we want to bless your people now. We lose the Spirit of grace. That it will move in the hearts of the people. It is here with us. Lord God, we command it. The capacity has come. We cannot leave less than what God has made us. This is my shirt. It is blue color. If I tell you my shirt is not blue, I'm lying. Something has come down. It's here with us. We have it. It's coming down. Hallelujah. That's what God said to come and tell you. That the capacity has come down. It's here.
Hallelujah.
It's here with us. I cannot lie. He says, I cannot deny myself. Hallelujah. We have it. Father, we bless you. And we ask that you will move from this point. Oh, Lord God. I'm bringing the capstone with the shouting of grace. Father, we bless you. Blessed be God. That your people will now go with the mentality and the capacity that we can overcome. And that we have the resources to do so. Blessed be God. Thank you, Father. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed
be God.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we want to thank you for the confirmation.
Yes,
thank you. And of your words, we want to
thank you
for channeling, you know, the release to the fullness of Christ. Because to our ability to take in all of God and retain it and keep it, you know, without wasting. Follow the worship you
have with us.
You know, we trust as we, you know, break for the next 2 hours, Lord, we pray, you know, that indeed, O God, you give us the wisdom, you know, to use the time, you know, together individually and in pairs and, you know, families wisely. We pray for grace to, you know, give diligence to the things that we tend.
Amen.
You know, to apply ourselves, you know, even when we, you know, leave at the end of this conference, as the word says that we should give all diligence to make our calling an election sure.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray that indeed in this, you know, this season of your visitation, our progress will be plain to all.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.